Podcast, the Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel, DraftKings. I am your host, Sean Kane, and we are breaking down Wednesday's main slate. A seven-gamer should be a solid game, or excuse me, a solid slate. Recording this a little bit early on Tuesday afternoon. Wanted to get you guys some good takes. We have all the pitchers updated. We should have a good amount of the Vegas number information because these teams have their rotations published. So we should have a good sense of exactly what the numbers are. And lineups, not a ton of injuries or anything changing like that. So going to get this one to you guys early, get you a couple takes so that you can build your lineups for Wednesday slate nice and early. Now, the all-day slate should be a little bit of fun if you want to get in on that. Of course, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Guys over in the Slack channel are often talking through their early lineups. Got some good takes, some good ideas exchanged over there. So let's go ahead. We're going to take a look at what Vegas has to say about some of those games. And then we'll break it down. We'll give you guys some pitchers that you want to target and some stacks that you may want to consider as well. So let's take a look at the Wednesday slate. All right. So, going to make sure that I don't include any games here that are not on the late slate. So, first game of the night, San Francisco at Philadelphia. This series continues. Chris Stratton, Nick Pivetta, a 9-run total here. Philadelphia home favorites. Pivetta's pitching well. Stratton, you know, contact issues, batted ball issues. He's just not really able to avoid the hard contacts right now. So I think that the Philadelphia bats certainly in play. Now, it's not really clear where the splits lie with Stratton, but he is struggling to get out left-handers. So I think that that's obviously where we want to go with this one. Not an unreasonable amount of, you know, not unreasonable pricing on Philadelphia, but they've been producing. So they're not really cheap beyond Carlos Santana and a couple of these outfielders, you know, whether it be Nick Williams or Aaron Althea. I'm not sure who you're going to get in the outfield there, but definitely have some interest in the Philadelphia side of this. Nick Pivetta, numbers look good. Numbers look good. I don't know what else to say. He's not pitching a ton. He's not pitching very deep into games. The numbers look good. That's it. That's my, you know, that's my Curb Your Enthusiasm take on the whole thing. So it's tough not to like him. But at the same time, he hasn't really gone too deep into games. There are some red flags. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Houston at, Kansas City at Baltimore. Eric Skoglund versus Andrew Cashner. This is only a 9-run total. It's a 9-run total. This is a bad baseball game. Not a lot to love from either pitcher. Baltimore home favorites. Andrew Cashner, a slight home favorite, but not much. There's not a lot to love in this situation. Honestly, you gotta be, I think you gotta be a little bit more careful. You gotta be liking the bats here. You gotta be careful what you wish for though, too. These offenses can be inconsistent. So we'll certainly talk about them. There's definitely some spots. I mean, both of these pitchers are targetable, and so you kind of maybe mix and match some of your better options from both lineups here. And it's nice because the righties from Baltimore are what you want, and the lefties from Kansas City are what you want. So it works. It works for sure. Washington at San Diego, Gio versus Joey Lucchese. 7.5-run total here, and Washington favorite on the road. Gio will be a road favorite. That's a lot. There's a lot of confidence there, and I think Gio will be a popular pitching option. No doubt about it. I mean, pitchers facing San Diego always get a lot of love, especially if you get a competent guy with, you know, he's got a trustworthy track record. He's pitching pretty well. He's not getting blown up. There's a lot to like about Gio Gonzalez, no doubt about it. I'm going to go back to the righties in Washington. No question. Anytime I get him against a lefty, and Lucchese's been fine, but the batted ball profile, struggling for sure. That is definitely where I think you can attack him. A Boston and New York. This is the headliner. This should be fun. David Price versus Masahiro Tanaka, a 9-run total, and the New York Yankees are favorites here. I think this one's going to be tight. I don't think it's going to be very high scoring, but I do think some runs will go up, and I think the Yankees at home favorites as home favorites are certainly interesting to me. David Price is just struggling, and I think you could definitely that the Yankees could get to him one more time here. I don't know what his deal is. I don't know if he's hurt or what the case is, but anyhow, that's where I'm at. I think it's Yankees for sure. We have Arizona continuing their series in LA, a 7-run total. Patrick Corbin versus Alex Wood. Very, very slight home favorites are the Dodgers. Very, very slight. And I actually don't know. I mean, this is going to be a low scoring game for sure. The 7 number makes good sense to me. Corbin, though, has been better than Wood by the numbers so far. He's pitched well against the Dodgers in 2 outings already this year. So there's certainly a lot to like about Corbin's profile. I think he will probably attract some good attention on this slate. Seattle at Toronto. This one is a 7.5-run total, and Toronto will be favored. No, we do not have a published line. I was looking at the wrong thing. We do not have a published line here, but Toronto currently sitting as home favorites. Wade LeBlanc versus Jaime Garcia. Neither of these pitchers particularly good. Aside from, Nelly Cruz versus a lefty, a couple other spots, there's not a ton that I want to get involved with here. I guess you could talk me into mixing and matching the righties on both sides here. I think that would be the way that I approach the Seattle Toronto game. Let's see what the total says. Let's see what Vegas has to say about it. Certainly could be a decent spot to get involved with. And then Atlanta and Tampa Bay, Julio Teheran versus Ryan Yarbrough. Yarbrough, reported starter on a couple sources, they've not announced an official starter. He got the start in this spot in the rotation last time out. So Yarbrough was kind of the projected potential starter, but we'll see. Teheran has been rough. The Rays not really hitting righties as well as they're hitting lefties, but certainly could attack Teheran here. I really would actually prefer the other side of this, the Atlanta bats attacking attacking Yarbrough. If it is, in fact, Yarbrough, the young fella could struggle with this Braves offense, which has been pretty effective. So a little bit out of order there and not all the information that you need, but certainly a good sense of exactly what is going on. Let's go ahead and take a look at the pitchers on this slate, and I'll give you guys a good breakdown of exactly where I'm going to get my pitching from on this Wednesday night. All right. Now, you don't really have a lot of stud arms on this slate. I think it's going to be a whole lot of ownership, honestly, a whole lot of ownership on Patrick Corbin and Gio Gonzalez, mostly because playing a guy like David Price or Masahiro Tanaka, while the numbers and the name value appealing, I just don't really completely trust either of them to get it done against the opponent, right? Their respective opponents. Just too scary. 25% strikeout rate for Tanaka. Sure, that's great. He's been good. We know who he is. He's a solid pitcher, 3.4 Sierra. Price, not so much. He's struggled mightily this year. 10% K to walk ratio is one of the worst on the slate. I mean, it's worse than Andrew Cashner. He can't locate. So Tanaka is potentially interesting, but you got to attack the Red Sox, and they've seen Tanaka for years. It doesn't really appeal to me. It makes me a little bit nervous. So it's Patrick Corbin for me. I think he is certainly the most interesting, and it makes sense. I mean, he's heads and tails by the numbers. Heads and tails better than a lot of these other pitchers who kind of group around in mediocrity. Corbin, 34% strikeout rate on the year, only a 5% walk rate, giving him the best K-to-walk ratio on the slate, a 2.4 Sierra. He's been excellent. He truly has. I mean, there's nothing stopping him from going out and getting another quality start. He's had 4 in a row. Of course, we know that he had the complete game shutout against San Francisco at home a couple weeks ago. That was really nice. Against the Dodgers specifically, he's had 17 strikeouts across 13 innings pitched, both of them quality starts. One of them was a total shutout. 12 Ks across 7 innings. zero earned runs, had an absolutely masterful performance. So Corbin is cooking right now, and I think that you would certainly be confident to say, listen, he knows the opponent, he's scouted the opponent, he's pitching well, the Dodgers are banged up, they're in trouble, let's just go back to him. Let's just trust the 30-point potential outcome here. Let's hope he has a little bit better. The most recent one, it was actually his last start, is six innings. He got the six-inning quality start with one earned and 5 Ks. So not a phenomenal outing, but certainly certainly a good outing, and we know he has a ceiling. He's shown us more than 8 strikeouts in 5 different games this year. So the K rate is for real. Hopefully he can keep it up here and get a couple extra ones against the Dodgers here. Now, I do think that Gio will attract attention, and it's pretty easy because he's usually relatively low priced easily priced, easy to swallow. He's successful. His numbers are just so damn identical from year to year. And we know that every once in a while he struggles, but he's consistent. And this year it's a 25% K rate, a 10% swinging strike rate, walk rate right there the same, fly ball, ground ball rate, everything is pretty much exactly the same. Sierra at 3.8. He's pitching a little bit better. And part of why I think he's pitching better, and this is one of the caveats I have against him, is actually that he's not been going very deep into games. We have 5 outings from Gio this year of his 7 starts where he has gone only into the 5th. So they certainly seem to be saying, listen, don't wear yourself out. It makes sense. They want him healthy. They want him for the long haul. They want him to be able to just continue to churn through innings. There's been a couple games. He's only gotten 2 quality starts. He's only gone 6 and 7. Part of that is the fact that he's going to walk guys, and he's given up multiple walks and he's given up multiple hits. It depends on how many base runners he gets, but he's given up walks and hits in a lot of these situations. But, we do know that he is capable of getting you 6, 7 strikeouts, something like that, a nice, reasonable return. And especially against a team like the Padres, who have, struggled a little bit with the left-handers, I think that that's a good spot. Now, the one guy that I would probably pivot over to, unless you want to get really aggressive and go on one of these guys where the numbers are a little bit thin, some of the younger fellows, is actually Pivetta. And Pivetta, strangely enough, kind of on the surface level, has a lot of the same numbers as Gio. Strikeout rate, 24%, swinging strike rate, 10%, walk rate at 6%. It's all very similar. Batted ball profile, not phenomenal, not bad. Although I do like the fact that he's only given up a 23% hard contact rate. 3.7 Sierra is great. Right? This is good for Nick Pivetta. He's trending in the right direction as far as the Phillies are concerned. He's gotten, a good start to the year. He's been productive. And then you kind of look at what he's done from a game-to-game basis, and you're like, oh, Jesus, it's not great. And he got destroyed by Washington last time out. 12 total runs in his last 3 outings. Now, one of those was against Pittsburgh, and he got a full quality start, and he only gave up 2 runs. But multiple base runners, you can kind of see how it is that he could get hurt here. And he did not get the quality start against Atlanta. Great offense, don't care. Washington, they've got plenty of hitters, but he faced 11 batters in the first inning, gave up 6 earned runs, 2 dingers in that stretch. So you do have that as a possible outcome for Nick Pivetta. So you do have to be careful with this guy and recognize that while the numbers on the whole look okay, he's had some inconsistencies to his game. Now, the Giants, we know they swing. They've been swinging this year, 25% strikeout rate versus right-handers. It's not necessarily an overwhelming or overpowering offense. So maybe you get good outing out of Pivetta at lower ownership than Gio. That's all he really has to do, in my mind, is beat a guy like Gio. Because I don't think that David Price or Masahiro Tanaka are really going to have much of a ceiling. If you want to get with one of those guys, it's probably Tanaka for my money. I just don't see where David Price is going to find this stroke. He just hasn't had it. He really hasn't, and that's the concern. Now, the place to make your money on this slate is not necessarily with your pitcher, which is why Corbin, I think, is interesting. And, listen, some people are probably going to talk about Alex Wood. Fine. I don't know. I mean, the numbers are fine for Alex Wood, but he's Alex Wood. You talk about a guy who's not going to go very deep into a game, that's him. Right. I mean, he has always been, someone that has struggled. to get more than five innings. And it's kind of 50-50 this year. He's had some ones where he really, really shows up and he gets all the way into that game. And in fact, against the Arizona in his last outing, he was good. 8 Ks across, five innings. But that's not a quality start. And on FanDuel, I think that concerns you. So there's some appeal to Alex Wood. I'm not going to try to sell him to you. I think the place to make your money here on this slate is really with the bats and finding the right stacks here, because there are going to be some pitchers that get blown up. It is not blatantly dead on clear exactly who those guys are. So I think what you want to look for here is some potentially overlooked spots and combine them with, which I don't really know if there's going to be chalk on this slate. I got to be honest with you. It's hard to feel like, I mean, I guess the algorithms are going to show us anything with a higher total. And so you're going to gravitate towards those higher totals, but I don't know. I really like some weird, not weird spots. I guess they're not weird, but I feel like there's some off the radar spots here. It doesn't feel like there's going to be a lot of clear chalk on this slate. But New York versus Price, this is one of the spots that I feel like is okay. You get a name brand pitcher, you don't, you know, and I do think that the Yanks will get to him. He's been rough, man. 40% fly ball rate, a 35% hard contact rate, of the 4.6 Sierra. That's one of the worst on this slate. I mean, some of his numbers are worse than Andrew Cashner right now, guys. It's not good. Hard contact and fly ball, 40-40 to right-handed batters. So Gary and Stanton, the BVP is there, profile's there. They're going to smash him. Gary Sanchez has owned David Price. Owned him. The BVP is silly. It is silly. So, Gary, certainly interesting to me. Giancarlo, certainly very interesting to me. I think I would add Didi as a potential pivot, and that sounds weird. You go lefty-lefty there, but he's actually had some bad numbers against lefties, too. Some struggles with lefties. The strikeout stuff really isn't there with lefties. So, he is interesting to me as well. I think it's actually a pretty low-owned spot. Even though it's expensive, you know, the combination of Price plus Price actual dollars, but Price also the pitcher, you get a combination of things working against people saying, nah, I don't know how much of that I want to do. That could backfire. It's easy to fade that situation because he's a pitcher that people recognize. But doesn't necessarily mean that you should avoid it. Atlanta versus Yarbrough. This is the best team in baseball versus left-handed pitching, and this is a rookie left-handed pitcher. We don't have a huge sample on his numbers. He has only started, I think, one or two games. He's been working out of the bullpen, so you kind of have seemingly weird, wonky numbers. The starts, though, haven't really lasted, and the starts haven't lasted more than four or five innings, so that's kind of complicated. All I'm saying is this. You get a left-hander who has been not overwhelmingly good, like not anything that you're like, whoa, this kid's got stuff. Not quite. No. Fine. Right. Like get him some innings in the get him some innings in the bullpen, get him a couple starts, whatever the case may be. It's really developmental. And the league's best offense versus left-handed pitching. I mean, this is the highest WRC plus, like a very low K rate. They are hitting and punishing left-handed pitchers. So I'm interested in Albies Acuña. Freeman has hitting lefties as well. Whoever's in there, catcher, Suzuki or Flowers, don't care. Either one. And this is one of my favorite, you know, high price stack options. And this is a team that can really punish people by just stringing together runs. And you may not get one to leave the park in the trop because it's not exactly a great hitter's environment. But who cares? You get that big outfield going. And I think you could absolutely see some runs put up by the Braves against this young fella. And then you get to the Rays bullpen, which has been not bad, not great either. So, love Atlanta here. They're pricey. I like that. I'm interested. Now in the middle range, a little bit, cheaper there. I think Philadelphia versus Chris Stratton. It's just from a batted ball profile perspective, Stratton has given up a ton of hard contact, a 43% rate there. He does have a 20% strikeout rate, but it's not, you know, it's not, he's not been dominant. 10% walk rate, a Sierra 4.6. Nothing really that special here. And I think Philadelphia is coming on versus right-handers. So I have zero issue going to these guys, going back to Hernandez, Herrera, Santana, maybe Nick Williams if he's in there. We'll see who's in the lineup and how they play tonight. But Philadelphia continuing to do well. They're hitting the ball. They can leave the park. They're at home. Great hitters environment. There's a lot to like there in that situation. I think Stratton is Stratton will get better. We saw some good moments from him last year, but he's still not quite there. And he certainly, he just kind of needs to taper off and show some better indicators that he can really actually throw big league stuff. I'm going back to Washington versus the left-hander. They're going to be in San Diego versus Lucchesi. I love it. Again, that three-man right-handed stack, Zim, Rendon, and Howie Kendrick, no issue going right back there. Add Trey Turner if you have the money at shortstop. Zero problem with that. I think that that's a lot of fun. It's something that probably maybe people will be interested in Lucchesi because some of the numbers are good. But the kid is, he's young, he's had some good starts, and the 26% strikeout rate is solid. And listen, he's got a solid K-to-walk ratio at 17%. It's nice, it's in the middle here of the pack. Fine, that's great. Nearly a 40% hard contact rate, and an elevated fly ball rate at 37%. Now, the Sierra's at 3.7. That's good, right? That's good, but I just can never resist getting after a lefty with these right-handed national stacks. 315 wOBA allowed to the right hand of the plate. And, of course, that means, you know, that the hard contact goes up. In the right side of the plate, they're hitting him at a 40% hard contact rate and elevating the ball. 44% fly ball rate. So the splits are blatantly clear for Lucchesi. Attack him with the righties. It should be okay. I like that three-man stack. They're reasonably priced. Should be an interesting spot to go to Washington here. Now, there's two games that particularly interest me, and I kind of want to mix and match my exposures to both of them. And as game stacks, I think they're really, really unique and slightly intriguing. On a smaller slate, it could be kind of fun to get a little bit of Kansas City-Baltimore and as well as Seattle-Toronto. Now, I know I've talked about a lot of offenses on this slate, but I told you, this is where you're going to make your money on this slate. Now, let's talk about Royals-Orioles, Skoglund and Cashner. Well, okay, they're both terrible, so no problem going to Skoglund, no problem going after Cashner. Let's talk about Cashner, of course, the splits for him, rough, right? The lefties are smacking him, as are righties this year. 400 wOBA allowed to the left-handers, 340 to the right-hands, to the right-hands. Wow. The fly ball rate is really, though, what you like here. Lefties are getting the ball up on him, 54% fly ball rate against left-handers. So, okay, it's pretty clear what you want to do. If you've got left-handers that you want to attack, if you want to attack a righty with the Royals, you're going to Moose, you're going to Lucas Duda, and you're going to John Jay, and it's a quick 1-2-3, and you're going to get a 1-3-5, a very simple, straightforward approach, and relatively, you know, inexpensive prices, especially Jay and Duda. So no problem going to those guys. Whoever else is in the lineup, you know, I mean, Alex Gordon is fine. Don't get carried away. He every once in a while he'll get one out of the park, but you know, be careful. Now on the Baltimore side of this, Skoglund has been equally bad. Okay. Skoglund has certainly struggled here. A 21% strikeout rate, an improvement on last year, but nearly a 40% fly ball rate and a 50% hard contact rate. Now, the sample isn't huge on this guy, but he has started five games, and it's been kind of all over the place, right? He had one really good start against the White Sox, and his most recent start against Detroit was a disaster. Four innings, five runs, you know, multiple walks, multiple base runners. So Skoglund just getting hit hard. And I think that if you want to attack him, you know, you're doing it with the best possible bats on this team, which are right-handers that like to hit lefties, and that's Manny Machado. You know, you have to attack him with Manny Machado, no doubt about it. And the hard contact rate to that right side of the plate, 52%. So that number just does not lie. So I think it's very simple. Again, it's Mancini, Machado, Jones. Boom, boom, boom. With these offenses that are mediocre at best, you don't have to attack them deep in the lineup. When you have really, really good offenses that get a lot of production, and you can attack deeper in the lineup. This is not one of them, okay? It's pretty straightforward that you just want to get yourself, you know, those guys at the top of the order who are going to get plate appearances, who we know have some upside. And I could talk myself into Danny Valencia, I suppose. You know, he's in the five hole. I don't know what his price is going to look like. But I could talk myself into Danny Valencia. He's 250 ISO, 350 WOBA here. Not terrible, right? I mean, not great, but not terrible. And Mancini up there, Machado up there as well. So those would be the four, I guess, if I had to. Adam Jones, I guess you could probably get off of Adam Jones and go to Valencia. The numbers are a little bit better. It's just kind of, yeah, no, you could do that. Jones is not hitting the ball yet this year. He'll go through a couple waves where people, you know, Adam Jones is certainly a guy that we want to pay attention to, but this is not that wave right now. Now, the other game that I mentioned, Mariners Jays, Wade LeBlanc versus Jaime Garcia. You know, double lefties here, right? So, okay, your instant interest should be Nelly Cruz and then Josh Donaldson. And that's pretty straightforward. I mean, that's where you want to be instantly. Nelly Cruz and Josh Donaldson against these two mediocre left-handers. And the numbers are there, man. They really are for both guys. And we know that. If I'm going to add on to that, I'm probably adding from the Mariners side, where I'm going to add Mitch Haniger. I would love Gene Segura. I also like Ryan Healy as a cheap first base option who has power. So the Mariners stack actually comes together pretty nicely. Of course, we know Jaime Garcia is a guy who's going to try to keep the ball down. He is certainly going to try and, you know, generate a lot of ground balls. And this year, he's been fine. You know, the ground ball rate, not quite there yet, a 40% ground ball rate, but a few more strikeouts, 23% K rate. The ball, however, a lot of the balls, getting hard hit, a 40% hard contact rate so far. I think that will probably normalize and come down into the, you know, high 30s a little bit for Garcia. But there's certainly a lot to like with this Seattle offense versus a left-hander like this. And on the side, you know, attacking LeBlanc, he's been fine. You know, 3.92 Sierra, he's been effective, not overwhelming, but he's been effective and annoyingly so, right? He's one of those kind of middle of the rotation guys that soaks up innings, doesn't really get lit up. I don't mind going to the right-handers here. You know, you could certainly talk me into Justin Smoke and Josh Donaldson. I think that the hard contact profile is there, 36% and 48% fly ball rate to the right side of the plate. So LeBlanc, I think it's a nice, interesting way to mix and match. You get a couple Jays, you get a couple Mariners, and then, you know, you can grab a couple other bats from somewhere else out there. That would be a game stack that I would be interested in. Kansas City, Baltimore, like I mentioned, another interesting, unique stack. Preferences as far as, you know, how much I like one team versus the other, I think I'll kind of start to let the implied run totals and some of the way that these series play out tonight dictate that. You know, I think off the top of my head, I'm interested in the Braves and the Nats. I think that they are solid. I like the Mariners now that I've been thinking about it a little bit more. I like the Yankees as kind of a one-off, or maybe a little bit more contrarian, expensive, but, you know, that's why I talked about them as the pricey team here. And then the Phils. Yeah, I think the Phils are probably above Kansas City, Baltimore, but I do think there could be some fireworks in Kansas City, Baltimore. There's not a lot of good. Skoglund, though, it's hard to see what he's been. He had that one outing versus Chicago. Everything else is terrible. The one outing, though, versus Chicago, you're like, who was that? Who got into you? Yeah. All right, guys, that is it for me. Not going to be able to build you a lineup. I'm sorry, but I did get you out of here early. Go ahead, build your lines. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Get involved with our cheat sheets, our tools, and enjoy. Hey, rate and review the podcast, too. Would you please? iTunes, 5-star.